When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi everyone, and welcome to And Just Like What? Sex in the City Rewind.
Where Sex in the City super fans tell the truth and nothing but the truth about the show that made us who we are today. My name is Ricky.
My name is Meredith.
And we're your co-hosts.
We're your co-hosts. I have to do some narration for a video that we did. And so I'm trying to like drop into my vowels.
Oh, is that how you do narrations? Like,
and I know I'm shining down on you from heaven.
Hot child in the city. Whoa, how are you? I think you're in a mood. I love it, Meredith. Thank you for that.
Oh, energy. Do I? Oh.
Are you drinking some vino? Do you have a cocktail in hand?
No, I'm out of
time. Oh, you're dry. You're doing this dry.
I turned 41. I just had some decaf coffee black.
I thought you turned 40. Last week you said, I'm 40, y'all. Now you're 41?
I said I'm in my 40s now.
So that starts at 41. I get it.
Yeah.
So you just made yourself some decaf, put some lactose-free milk in it.
Nope.
Oh, black. Just black now.
Black like my future.
Yeah.
Dark, bitter.
But you're bringing it, so that's good. How was your week? How was your week?
It was kind of a weird week because it's spring break here, and so my kids were... I was doing some working / being a parent.
Oh, darn.
I know. So I didn't work
that.
I didn't feel great on Tuesday. So it was fine. Oh. It's one of those things where my kids are very, you know, they're athletic, funny little boys.
High energy is what you're trying to tell me.
Well, they're high energy. I was going to say they're like, they kind of won the lottery in a lot of ways. They have a lot of privilege happening for them.
Yep.
But I've just noticed how I am an extremely stressed mom.
Are you really?
I'm an internalized stressed mom. Like no one can tell.
You're trying to show that you're laid back. You are Miranda in just like that, more boho. I don't know. Like whatever. Like Brady, do whatever you fucking want. But what you really are Miranda in Sex in the City.
Yeah. I'm like riddled with anxiety. And the main thing is, it's just like making friends. Like my oldest son is now the age where he's starting to choose his own friends.
Yep. Yeah. He has a little bit of license.
Yeah. But my youngest son is only in grade one. And so, you know, he's made some friends in school and we've done play rates with like some of the kids he really likes, but I'm still kind of like working the playground.
You're trying to do PR. You're kind of doing like Samantha's PR for this kid.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Like and the I birthday just, party.
And I mean, and I don't need to. They're actually like, you know, there's...
They're good.
They're not... They're
not little weirdos.
They're not
great kids.
But it's just, I think I have to stop because I'm like, there's a level of competition in mom culture that
especially your crowd. I have to say...
My kids go to public school.
I don't know. You find the moms. Square off a bit.
Yeah. So I think I'm just going to try to focus on the moms that I actually want to be friends with. But then that's tricky because sometimes you don't like their kids.
Yeah, I know. And that's not the kid that your kid wants to hang out with.
No. So
let me ask you this. Are kids... Do you think kids are kinder now than they used to be or worse than they used to be?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I always thought like kids, I would watch some kids interact nowadays and think, these are enlightened kids. They're kind. They're more acceptive. accepting all this stuff, but I'm not sure. I don't think it's true.
You know, I think that elementary, I think maybe because they have more language for how they're feeling and they talk about boundaries.
Okay, and the curriculum is different. Like they're teaching more emotive things.
They're watching. They're watching more. There's more supervision. I think in junior high, when like phones and social media happens, I think there's potential for a lot of
I think it's the worst. I actually think it's the worst. I don't like, I think you almost need to give your kid a phone these days, but I think if I were a parent, I'm glad I'm not a parent in a way because I don't have to think about this, but it's the worst.
Seriously. I'm like, it might just kill me. Like I might, and I have boys. Like I have boys. So
Think about, okay, in this, we're talking about hot child in the city.
It's exactly. All
about
That's being, why all this is coming up. It's actually
a good segue. These girls in this episode are, could you imagine them with Instagram or Snapchat or whatever else? Could you imagine?
It's child pornography.
It's child porn. I was actually very uncomfortable in certain parts, but should we, my week was fine. I was sick. That's it. That's all we need to know about me.
I went from bed. But you went to Boston Pizza.
It's basically our Canadian equivalent of California Pizza or whatever it's called.
California Pizza Kitchen.
Yes. And it's just kind of like humdrum, but we enjoyed it a lot. My husband and I take my mom's husband out for dinner every week and... Or meet him up with him for dinner every week. And it's like a really nice thing to do. But we go to all the chain restaurants. So we order the most so fun. Like I got a wine and it's called Josh wine. It's the funniest thing. It's called Josh.
Uh-huh. I'm familiar with that wine.
Do you know Josh? I got a 9-ounce pour of Josh wine. Yeah. It was so funny.
I love a Boston Pizza because sometimes they have kids eat free and you can get those delicious spritzer drink. I like it.
Yes, good I know, salads. Right? It was good. Yeah. So that was my week. I went to Boston Pizza. Love. But okay, well I think we should just dive into Hot Child in the City.
Okay.
Give us a little synopsis.
Okay, so this is season 3, episode 15. Mm-hmm. This is a memorable episode for me. Like
this episode.
Yes, I remember it very. Like as soon as I read the title, everything. I was like,
every single element.
Yeah, and it makes me realize that the last stretch of season 3, Hot Child in the City, and then Frenemies, and then which is the one after this. Mm-hmm. And then What Goes Around Comes Around. There's a really funny.
They're funny. And they're
the Cock-a-doodle-doo. Like the final four episodes are also really strong.
They had an arc with Big and Aiden that was heavy and very kind of important feeling.
Yeah.
But these ones are the perfect episodic little tied up, like themes tied up in a bow episodes. They're perfect standalone episodes.
Yeah, I really enjoyed Hot Child in the City.
I love this episode.
Yeah, I do too. And it's like a very, very young Kat Dennings, and she is a star.
Kat Dennings ruled this woman. I love her.
Me too.
I love her. I like Two Broke Waitresses. I was like, is it called Two and a Half Men Broke Waitresses? I totally forgot what it was called.
Two and a Half Men harassing Two Broke Waitresses?
Men, leaving a minimal tip for two and a half waitresses. Anyway, okay, tell us this.
It aired September 24th, 2000.
September 24th, 2000.
This is a pretty explicit episode too. There's a lot of body parts in it.
There's a lot of body parts. There's a lot of uncomfortableness.
Funny. All funny.
But all funny, but there's some stuff. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So 34-year-old Miranda feels a teenage girl again. 34 when her dentist
more. Oh, yeah. Yeah. For 34.
Gives her braces. 34-year-olds to me seem so young. It like.
Now that you're
speaking of moms, right? There's some moms who are 34, and I'm like, did you have your kids at like 20? Like what? I was fucking around at 25.
I know. I was. Sorry. I'm still a late bloomer, and it seems weird to me to see young parents. It still does to me.
Like 34 seems so young to me. Okay, 34-year-old Miranda feels a teenage girl again when her dentist gives her braces. Let me do this in my. I have to do that narration voice.
Yes.
Samantha is jealous of a 13-year-old super rich client who seems to have skipped the teen years altogether. Carrie's gorgeous younger boyfriend, Wade Superboy Adams, he's younger, is a comic shop clerk.
Oh, he doesn't own that place?
I guess. Who makes her feel young again, as they do teen and tween things together. Mm-hmm. Or perhaps too young. He still lives with his devoted parents. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, Charlotte resorts to heavy medical therapy for Trey's sexual non-performance and gets surprising results.
Perfect.
Thank you.
You could totally do the intros to Dateline. I have a Dateline update.
Oh, what?
I found
they died.
It was the boyfriend. I found a 24/7 Dateline channel on Roku.
No, it's bad for you. Ricky, don't.
We started watching one last night and Matt got sucked in. I was sucked in. It was about a woman being poisoned by, guess what? Her boyfriend. Or her husband. He was giving her thallium poisoning, which is like a KGB poison that he ground up himself from berries or something. And the only antidote was Prussian blue. It's a pigment they put in blue paint.
What?
And they had to go to the archives, like in Washington, like the CDC Center for Disease Control, to get it. And the twist was she was still alive and she appeared on camera. We were sucked right in. She made it.
Was her face like dyed permanent blue, like her, a smurf?
Could you imagine? Her lips were blue because she had to take so much of that pigment. No, her tongue.
Yeah.
Slurpee. No, she actually, the twist physically was that her hair was falling out from all the poisoning and she appeared with a bob because she was just growing her hair out.
That was the reveal. And my hair looks fantastic. Yeah.
And I love this chin length bob.
It's a lob, darling.
It was a win-win.
Wait, don't you get scared at nighttime watching Dateline?
Terrified.
And like you hear any noise in the house.
Meredith, Matt also went away after we watched that one and
He just left.
He left, right? And we have a security system with cameras that alert me every time they detect motion.
Yes.
It's on my watch. And I'm getting alerts all the time because it was windy. And I was honestly like with a broom walking around my house, like,
you can't. Do you wear your watch to sleep?
No, I don't know. Why?
Because that would be a nightmare.
Because I would be feeling like whenever there was someone lurking and watching me.
Yes.
It's terrifying. And then Matt claims one morning he woke up and we had that tons of snow. He saw a set of footprints come to our house and they didn't exit. They just walked right in.
I could just hear Matt telling you that in his French accent. And then the footprints.
They just disappeared at the house. Like there was no return exit. They just came and stood.
Like, just looked.
And looked.
And they realized how boring y'all are. They're like, do they eat a carb in that house?
They're like, they're scoping us out. Like, not worth it, guys. Backtrack. Like,
they're very well hydrated. They sleep a lot and they don't eat carb.
They have all linen bedding. What kind of losers are they?
Have you seen his candle closet?
They're spending the money on the wrong things. Okay. So,
where do you think this is ranked?
You know, in my heart of hearts, it's top 30. Mm-hmm. But I think it's exactly like 45.
I think this episode is so funny and I
love it.
I just disagree with the vulture list, but we know how you feel about me with season 2 final episode.
X in the City.
X in the City, which they did not rank high enough. So, they clustered this series of season episode 13, 14, and 15, they're all in a row. So
really?
Hot Child in the City, they ranked at 58th because they say it's a throwaway in terms of major plot points.
Yes, it is. There's no plot development other than Trey's erectile problems and Carrie's singledom. There's nothing wrong with watching Carrie handle different issues because of being single and dating different guys.
100%. And
what
also,
is wrong with that?
New York in the summer.
It is.
Absolute delight.
It is a delight. And to see to see New York being used in this way was really fun in this episode.
I agree.
Let's go through character, all the little subplot lines, if that's okay.
Should we start with Sam?
Let's start with Samantha, because it kind of kicks things off with the bat mitzvah.
Yeah, and she really doesn't do that much.
No, she doesn't, but it starts up the whole idea of the 13 going on 34 idea.
And 13 is so young. It's crazy.
Well, I think this is hopefully a little exaggerated, but are these not true definition of millennials?
What do you mean?
Well, these are true millennials. Like, they're coming into their own around the year 2000. So
that means she was born in 87. Yeah, that's my brother. I mean, Taylor Swift is 89.
Right. And she's truly a millennial too, right? Coming to of age in the year 2000.
In the 2000s, yeah.
Yeah. And I look at this and I think this is exactly how I feel Gen Zs are. Or Gen Zs are.
Looking at these little babies.
They're baby like little babies, but they're too... Oh, I really believe that they're too mature. I'll keep going back to my Sephora incident where I see these young little babies putting on wrinkle cream. And I'm thinking... And spending like $100 for Tatcha. No, you don't need that. You don't need to be mature. You don't need to be sending dick pics at 12. You don't need all this stuff.
A whole face of makeup.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, we should give some context. So Kat Dennings is 13.
And she's very, very rich. Her dad's a restaurateur.
She's very, very rich. She's invited the Clintons to her bat mitzvah.
All the best people.
It's going to be north of a million.
And she basically coerces Samantha into doing it.
She wants Samantha to do PR. Yeah. And Samantha's very off put by her. But when she hears that it's going to be north of a million, and like Kat Dennings is a child. She's a
convincing
child,
yes.
She's 13. And like, we've had so many conversations about this, especially like around Me Too, where there is, and also about this idea of this Lolita complex that an older man can somehow be ensnared or manipulated by a child. And there was some language, I think, used in a court case in Canada where we're talking about like 14, 15-year-old girls, and he called them underage women.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and so people came for him because they're like, you mean a child? You mean a child.
Wow, underage women.
Yeah.
How wildly disturbing is that? And so askew.
Yeah.
Although this character, Kat Denning... She's not taking any prisoners with the 13, 14-year-old crowd. That's for sure.
I mean, I love how much confidence she has. This girl, like, owned that set.
They walk in. So there's a scene where Carrie, Charlotte, the gals are all having... Is this where they're in the cafeteria? And I'm loving it. And this I is love a different these place. Old concepts. This oh, it's a different place. It's her dad's. It's actually her dad's restaurant. They get a bottle of champagne sent over and like, they're what?
And Kat, her name is Jenny, mm-hmm. buys it for them.
Yeah,
and
she walks over full Bratz doll outfits. Yeah. And they're like bowing down to Carrie, like, Carrie, we fucking love you.
Yeah, we fucking love you. Secret sex.
Like, yeah. Oof. Ooh, secret sex is my life story.
Yeah, it's creepy.
Do we all look at 13-year-olds thinking that they're way too... mature for their age? Is this just the lens that they have on a 13-year-old and it's just being amplified?
That it's just generational, wherever. Yeah, it's just, maybe.
We always look at that age and think, hell in a handbasket.
Yeah.
No hope.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, it's easy to... It probably is generational. And I don't know when it started to feel... worried, like disappointed, judgmental of the younger generation? Is it jealousy?
There's always been a generation of parents and older people thinking that teenagers were wild and out of control. Think of like that jazz era, you know, like they're college students partying, drinking. Like
Great Gatsby.
But then the 50s, 60s, 70s, like it Rebel always without felt a like cause. This. Yeah, right?
Yeah. Gen X was like, you're inheriting nothing. Sorry. Oh, I am so depressing.
I am Gen X, and let me tell you, it is so true. And is Carrie Gen X?
Yes.
There's a certain disillusionment that Gen X people have, and I think this is maybe really why she writes so much, because she's trying to figure it all out.
Would she be Gen X? So
well, what's right before Gen X?
So she would be born in like the 60s.
You know what? Actually, she's not Gen X, and she's before that, but I don't know what the definition of it. She's like not a boomer.
She's not?
I don't think she's quite boomer because I think that's firmly 50s. No? She's late boomer, early Gen X?
Should I Google we'll it?
We'll do. Please do. Please
okay.
do.
Okay. Let me go. So you keep telling about Samantha's, what happened?
Okay. So then Samantha, they have the party. It's a hit. But she overhears from the girls talking, the young girls at this party talking about, I fucked that guy and I wouldn't fuck him. And I'm fucking this one and like, fuck that. And she goes over to these kids and says, this is not appropriate. You shouldn't be talking like this. So it almost shows this slightly conservative side of Samantha. And she
And also realizes, maternal, a little bit.
A little bit maternal and this caring side of her. And her realization is that, you know, what was really nice is that she really had a real childhood. Like she really had that innocent years. And it's something like these kids have everything handed to them on a silver platter, but they don't have a childhood. It was a really nice realization for Samantha.
And I love that the whole theme, because we have Jenny who introduces it, the whole theme is about like junior high romance. So Miranda has one.
Yeah.
Carrie has one. Charlotte wishes she could go back to those days where it was simpler. Okay. So boomers were born from 1946 to 64. So Carrie.
And when was Sarah Jessica Parker born?
So
she just turned 59. So.
So Gen X's are between 1965, 1979, 80.
Really? Okay, so I'm firmly,
I think they're cusp. Yeah. I think they're just cusp.
They're cusp. They're straddling both of those worlds. Because I think in a lot of ways they behave very Gen X style.
They do.
In a lot of ways. Yeah. Because they're kind of floating. And they even in this episode they talk about this is their time that they're maturing. Like they're maturing now into the people that they're really going to be at 34. And I think that's a very Gen X way to think.
I still feel like I'm 28. Like
I just don't. I know. I even it's young. So I'll weird. Even. I'll make that lower. I feel like I'm even younger. And it's so weird.
It's so weird.
It is so weird. But watching this show makes me feel so much younger too. Anyway, yeah. Okay. Shall we move on to Miranda? Doesn't have much really.
No, Miranda gets braces. And I think the most memorable thing about Miranda is that she has some great outfits in this episode.
She has a lot of color blocked suits.
Yes. She wears like a sage green suit, which looks amazing with her coloring. And then she wears a kind of a chocolate brown suit. Again, it looks really good. And then she's wearing this kind of peacock blue with like a kind of an homage to peacock feather earrings on her date. And then in the last scene when she thinks the other lawyers were laughing at her because of her braces, she's wearing this really gorgeous like wrap black embroidered sleeveless dress.
Yeah, she is well dressed in this episode. She looks great.
I love her looks.
It's very interesting for them to put her in braces, and there's no other actress that could do it better.
Yeah, she's willing. Cynthia Nixon is always up to make a fool of herself.
Up for it. She is the almost like the best physical comedian I can think of sometimes.
Well, like Kim Cattrall is pretty funny.
Very good.
Yeah. But she's not as self-deprecating in her humor, where Cynthia Nixon's like, yeah, I'll be naked in a isolation pod.
It's so true. Like she's fearless. She's so fearless this. And yeah, there's a point where she's on this date with the hot guy and she's eating. For some reason, they order tapenade. And it's just all over
her teeth.
Her braces. And it makes her starts getting so paranoid. And she thinks, yeah, the lawyers in that room are all laughing at her. And she just goes into that mindset of a 13-year-old who's so paranoid and self-conscious.
What were you like as a 13-year-old? That was grade 8 for me.
I think I was just starting to grow out of my baby fat.
Yeah.
I just got contacts.
Yeah.
I was starting to like, you know, figure out a few things and maybe get more comfortable in my body. I hated those years. I really didn't enjoy those years. I blossomed in grade 10.
Really? How come?
High school was wonderful for me.
Yeah, just friends. Like, you found your people.
I found my people. I was very good at a couple things that gave me a little confidence.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I was really good at those things. And I knew I was the best at a couple things in those years. And I liked that. It was good. I had the good people. That was it. Friends are everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about you? Like, where were you at that time?
Oh, yeah. Grade 8 is hard. Like, I remember being... Oh, it's not good for anyone. Yeah, I was pudgy. I was kind of pudgy because I was a competitive swimmer, but then I quit just before grade 9. So, like, I got kind of pudgy. And I remember, like, there's some catty girls that I was friends with. Oh,
girls.
And, you know, I was never really bullied. I was always, like...
Periphery of that?
Yeah, and I was like welcomed into the group, and I never really experienced that, which is great. But still, I remember some things, just like you feel like your heart is like broken and you're so miserable. And
no matter, you know, yeah, if you could be bullied, you could be not bullied. At that age, your body and your mind are going through such momentous growth and such realization, such maturity. And it's almost like either your body is catching up to your mind or your mind is catching up to your body. It's never quite right.
Yeah. And I wish there was a way that you could do it where it's not so overwhelming. Like, it's not so, cause it's hard. It's, I don't know.
Could you imagine being, you know, like we were lucky. Could you imagine on top of that being marginalized in any way?
Oh my God.
Transgender or.
Yes. That's the thing. Like, I think back and I'm like, at the time it felt like.
So sad.
It makes me so sad. It makes me so sad because, like, here I am, you know.
It's
like,
hard.
Yeah, it's hard for me, and I am able-bodied and did well at school and had friends and, like, had boyfriends and, like, you know, was conventionally attractive, you know. So it's like, oh God, of course, it breaks my heart. I just want to go in there and, like, fight everybody,
and defend all the. Those little defenseless kids that need it. But
yes,
there's a fine line. There's a fine line for growth on their own terms too.
I know the resilience thing.
Yeah.
Oh, I hate it.
Okay. You know who needs resilience training is Charlotte.
So Charlotte has a really funny storyline. So they're still trying to have sex. And then one night she sees a penis pump.
Well, she realizes that Miranda, the reason why she got braces is because she was like a tongue thruster, and she was self-diagnosing, and everything led to cancer online.
Yeah.
This is the start of self-diagnosis online.
WebMD.
WebMD. So Charlotte goes on AOL.
Yep.
And she finds something.
A penis implant pump.
And she's like, we have no other option. They haven't even really tried Viagra yet.
I know. It's like this bionic penis that's the only thing that's going to save. It's
a very, like, traumatic implant.
It's like a fully AI. It, like, it needs a separate name. It needs a separate, like, passport to travel.
Yeah, no kidding. It would definitely register on every airport security check you've ever done in your life. Bing, bing,
bing. It's a vegetarian and Trey likes me. You know, all those things. So Trey's noticeably upset. And then that night, Charlotte thinks she hears him crying in the bathroom.
And she's like, I didn't want to make him cry about this.
It's so embarrassing, though.
It's just so good, though.
Yeah.
It's so
Trey's
good.
In the bathroom.
Every masturbating. Of this. To what?
To Jugs. Jugs just magazine.
A magazine devoted to big tits.
Yeah, huge boobs.
He just wants, and it's something definitely that Charlotte does not have. And as a partner, I might look at that and say, I'll never have that, sir.
She was offered it at the Playboy Mansion.
She should have taken up that guy. It was free.
Yeah.
So they go to couple
counseling.
Yeah, and he tells her, the counselor says, you have to make up names that are not connected. I didn't get the train of thought here. The names for your genitalia, so you can talk about it without being attached to the sexual function of those. I didn't get it. It was a lot to wrap it around.
I mean, I don't know how credible he was, but Charlotte names her vagina Rebecca.
and Trey names his schooner.
It's pretty funny.
Rebecca.
Rebecca. But that tracks. Pardon me? That tracks.
Yes. Yeah. And then she tells him her deepest, darkest fantasy is that she's a maiden, a princess in the forest, and a pirate comes and basically
pulls her off her unicorn.
And he's having nothing, none of it. Yeah. So finally, her solution, and I love it.
It's thank so God. Funny.
And you know what? I'm seeing glimpses of the, and just like that Charlotte here.
Yes.
That she actually went with it.
She's very sex positive, ultimately. She's
very sex positive in this.
Yeah.
She wants this to work.
So she puts pictures of her wedding pictures on the faces of the Jugs ladies.
Yes.
It's funny.
It's good.
Yeah.
Okay, now we have Carrie.
So Carrie, let's just lead open with that. She is wearing a Chanel blouse inside out so you can see the tag. What?
I didn't catch that.
Yes, look back at it. So it's when they're at the cafeteria.
Was it designed like that, or do you think it?
No, I think she's fully wearing it inside out. I have to Google it.
I have to know more about this. So Carrie basically, like, she has to go to her cobbler. And so she goes to her old cobbler, and it's now a comic shop. And she's like, what's going on here? Where's my cobbler?
Yeah. Where's my cobbler? Okay. So she's wearing her Chanel shirt inside out and backwards.
Wow.
Yeah.
What a weird thing.
It's a weird flex. Yeah.
It's a weird flex.
Yeah.
You know what? I think that there were certain things, even like in that era with thrifting, like maybe she thrifted Chanel and thought of like different ways to wear it.
Maybe. I just thought it was weird.
That's a very like, strange why? Thing. That's why? Very weird. But okay, so in this comic shop, she meets Wade Adams.
Do you think he's cute?
No, I think he looks like, I wrote down Matt Lauer with surfer hair.
Yeah, he does kind of look like Matt Lauer. He looks like
Matt Lauer with surfer with like Sean Penn hair from.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's a very funny storyline. Oh, she meets Wade Adams.
I love this. And I love it.
He's like a 14-year-old. And honestly, like, he's this was, stunted. I get it. It makes me just remember those days when, like, I always had boyfriends. And, you know, you're out on the street with them at night. And you're, like, on their skateboard. And, like, you know.
Well, yeah, you're younger at that point. You don't get offered a scooter in your 30s.
Well, in 2000. Typically. Now you would.
Now you get offered an electric scooter.
Exactly. You take a bird. Calgary,
in Calgary, the uptake on electric scooters is probably the highest in the world.
No, do you think?
I would imagine. I kid you not, I was walking to work one day and I saw a woman on an electric scooter with no helmet holding a newborn with no helmet.
No.
Going about 40 miles an hour down the path.
There's a huge increase in like broken wrists when we got all those scooters.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Unbelievable. Okay. So that's just basically telling my age that I'm like
you're so
warning get everyone. Off, don't get on the scooter.
So it's a funny storyline because she ends up, Wade Adams lives with his mom. And so at the time, I understand this is like, it's not attractive. It's a turnoff. He doesn't have his own apartment. But now I'm like, I think the reality is that most people, unfortunately,
a lot of people do this.
Like older millennials, Gen Y, are they ever going to own their own places? Is that so depressing?
I think a lot of people have missed that boat.
Like, it's absolutely crazy.
And a lot of people, a lot of Gen Xers and a lot of millennials are waiting for the big wealth transfer.
Yeah, transfer. Yeah.
And it's just not happening. These people are living.
They're forever. Never going to die.
They are living. If you're waiting for that wealth transfer, that grandma's going to live until 110.
Yeah, you're going to get your house when you're 60.
You are going to. Yes. So
do you think it seems depressing? Like even so, our city was one of the most affordable places to live in Canada for a while. And now I think the average home price is like in the 600s.
It's
right?
higher. I think it's actually in the 700s. And I'm saying like to people who are listening to us from like LA, New York, wherever you are, Toronto, Vancouver, that seems like very low. But here it's risen like 10% every year over the last 5 years.
It's really like 200,000 more. But I think an average home in Calgary was like in the 400,000s.
I have a friend
who's so long.
Her rent was raised by over 30% in this past year. Yeah. We don't have rent control here.
We don't want it. We don't want to be to Toronto. We don't want to be in Vancouver. We want this to be an affordable place to live. It sucks. Yes,
that's why it's so good. Like, I'm telling you, it's the best city in the world, in my opinion. Yeah. And this is challenging. Anyway, Wade lives at home. So Carrie actually kind of loves this for a second.
She's really into it because Mrs. Adams would be like, Carrie, do you want some fresh lemonade? Yeah, thank you, Mrs. Adams.
Do you want to stay for dinner? Yes, Mrs. Adams.
Yeah.
And she looks so good. Oh my God. She looks like so Carrie's good. Suntanning. And I love the scene with them. I love this. Looking through his record. Well, no, his record collection. And she's like, you've got Sticks. Oh my God. Can you play this? And I don't think actually Hot Child in the City is by Sticks. It's a different person. They put it on. They put on Hot Child in the City and they're kind of living this moment. She's just, we don't see Carrie. Carrie's not a nostalgic person.
Also, do you know too? It's because we never get much backstory about Carrie.
Nothing.
We never learn about her family. She never talk, we don't really get a lot of it. I think there's, in one of the movies, we get a flashback of how they met in the 80s.
Yeah. But
we don't get a lot of the meat.
She talks about working at TGIF, Fridays or whatever, and meeting that one guy. It's later.
Yeah.
Not much more.
No.
We really don't. We don't get much backstory. So I'll take it when I can get it.
I'll take it. Yeah. So it's fun imagining her as a really kind of spunky teenager who's out with boys and smoking weed and homemade bombs. Kind of I love it.
And when you're thinking about the era, it was late 70s, early 80s, this was teenager time.
They were feral, children.
Feral children. They were cutoffs. They were suntanning. They were drinking, there were bush parties, they were everything. It was a feral time.
You're out until the sun goes down and then you come home.
Your parents didn't give a shit what you were doing.
Where are you? I'm down by the river. I know.
Fuck
my
you, mom.
Fuck you.
Fuck you.
I know my 9-year-old wanted to walk to karate, which was it's a 7-minute walk from our house. But I was
I know.
I think maybe in grade 4 or 5 he can walk, but he's only in grade 3. I don't know. I'm just, it's hard. It's hard. The world feels scary.
The world feels scary, but technically it's safer now than it was when you were a kid.
You're right. 100%. You were right. The stats prove otherwise.
But it feels less safe. And okay. So Matt's nephews are coming. They're 6 and 9.
Oh, for this summer. That's the same age as my kids. Oh, we should have a play date.
Oh my God. Please let's do.
Love it.
Across our back alley is a school and a full fenced-in playground and everything.
That would be so fun.
We have talked at length about whether or not we're going to let those kids cross that alley
alone. They can. They can do that.
So Carrie, it starts unraveling when we really realize that Mrs. Adams is quite controlling. And Wade is not the greatest kid. He is actually not saving up for his own place. He's just living there.
This is a mid-30-year-old man. And he is Canadian supergrass. It's so funny now, how the world moves on. Because, pot is legal in Canada. It's been legal.
Everywhere. It's fine.
How long has it been legal
good
for?
Good times. Since, 18? 5 years?
So, at least 5 or 6 years.
5 or 6 years, yeah.
But the change was, no one cared.
No one cared.
One's cared for so long. And we always had pot in high school and college.
I think it was so decriminalized. Honestly, technically in Canada, it's been decriminalized for years and
for
years.
For years and years and years.
No one cares, right? So there's no issue.
No, there's no issue.
Unless they need to get you on a technicality, as I know on Dateline. If they need to bring you in for questioning, they'll get you on a pot charge to bring you in for murder questioning.
But in West Virginia or Kentucky.
I now think everyone's methy because of Dateline.
Coke was a big thing when I was in my 20s because I had so many friends who were actors.
Actors.
They were all doing Coke. But Coke people is expensive.
And people are still doing Coke. Coke made a little bit of a resurgence, I heard.
And this was before it was
Meredith, laced. You know what? That I'm a milk and cookies person. I've only smoked pot 3 times in my life. I've never done anything else. Yes.
Oh, wow. I've never done coke. But I've done shrooms and and pot. And now I'm addicted to cigarettes again.
And now you found some cigarettes and that's it?
At the disc golf course. No, I threw them out because I was like, I don't trust myself with these delicious cancer sticks.
Okay, so
Carrie and funniest, Wade get high. Carrie
yeah, and Wade they get high. And I have, they start, they do a KFC fight, which mm-hmm. is very interesting.
Like gross. Imagine cleaning that
like
up.
Like water and KFC everywhere. And there's a lot of KFC insects in the city, I have to say. And Wade's mom comes in and apparently she gave Wade an ultimatum that if she caught him with smoking weed in their place one more time, he's going to have to sleep on a cot at the comic store. Could you imagine hearing that? Like your libido would plummet.
And this is what Mrs. Adams says. Have you been smoking marijuana in my house?
Marijuana?
Marijuana in my house? And Wade looks at Carrie and says, Carrie brought it. And then Mrs. Adams says, is this true, Carrie? And then Carrie says, yes, it is, Mrs. Adams. And I'm going to take it with me when I leave.
One of my favorite moments of the whole goddamn series.
I know. And then she goes back to her apartment and she smokes it with Miranda and Samantha. And it's so fun. And I was so jealous. And I was like, I wish I was Carrie and just with my friends getting high.
Right? And that... and that classic low shot of them in her living room and it's like looking in the window is the most tantalizing thing. It gives me everything. It gives me friendships that I always wanted, these great friendships. And I think I sought friendships in a different way because of Sex and the City. Mm-hmm. I wanted these moments and I got them. I did.
Well, because they are each other's life partners.
Exactly. I love that idea for friends.
Mm-hmm, me too.
I want that in my friends. And I it gives me real estate porn, apartment porn.
Yes.
Because Carrie's apartment just gives me everything.
It looks so, like, I just wanted to be there. I wanted to be knocking on the door and being like, hey, gal.
I wanted that hot, you know, that breezy, hot air from the city.
And it smells like sewage.
Take me there. Take me there now.
In a second. And I don't know if listeners have been to New York in the summer, but New York in August, it's
the hottest place on earth.
It's so hot, but it is so fun. You're out, you're just on the street, and people live outside. Like, the parks are packed. Yes. People are having all their picnics and meals in the parks. And nighttime can get hot because it never cools down.
Well, the way Wade got her to his place is by saying it's got central air. And she's like, I'm there.
Yeah.
This is fun.
This is a great episode. I don't care what Vulture thinks.
I love this episode because it's ultimately about friendships and negotiating aging and the intergenerational transfer that's happening at all times. I thought it was so universal and it's something that I'm always thinking of.
And I'm so glad that they talked about sex through the lens of junior high, because I think that so many people's...
that's when they, that's your sexual awakening.
Yeah, sex drives, like how you experience, like meeting your needs. Like that's when you start to get more interested in dating. Like it's such a pivotal time.
It really is. It's important. And they did it so well. Enjoy this episode.
It's very sweet. Please watch it. Let us know what you think.
And follow along with us. Rate, review, follow, download our podcast wherever you listen. Tell your friends.
And Just Like What Pod on Insta. The question I want to ask is, do you want to be at Jenny's bat mitzvah or not? I wanted to be there. It looked like a banging party.
That was a good party. I wish I was cool enough or rich enough at that age to be invited to that party.
I know.
Okay,
y'all.
So fun, Meredith. Until next week.
Bye.